This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
If you want to see some real changes happen in your life in the new year, you don't need to make a New Year's resolution. That's the world's plan. You need God's plan. Amen? Let me show you what God's plan is. Go over to Philippians chapter 2. Look at verses 12 and 13. Let's talk about what God's plan for making a change in your life is. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You want to talk about what the result of your salvation should be? What does this say? You need to settle it once and for all that you are not living for yourself anymore. You're living for Jesus. From the moment you become a Christian, you can no longer make decisions just for yourself on what you want, what you feel, what you think is best. From that moment on, you have to defer your decisions to your Lord and your Savior, to your Master, Jesus Christ. If you want to see change in your life this coming year, that is step number one. You need to get before God and say, Lord, from this moment forward, I'm living for Jesus and not for myself. Here's step number two. Go back to Philippians chapter 2 and let's look at verses 12 and 13 again. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You need to let God work out his good pleasure in your life. That means we need to leave to him the decision of how we need to change. Now, where is all this leading? The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the world today, a big part of that ministry is convicting people of what needs to change in their lives. You want to know what really needs to change in your life? You need the Holy Spirit to tell you how to change. You need the Holy Spirit to convict you of what it is that God wants to deal with in your life. If you really want to change in the new year, you need to take some time and get before God and ask God to show you yourself. Now understand, this is not a superficial type of exercise. You need to set aside some time and say, Lord, for the next week, I'm going to get before you every day down on my knees asking, Lord, for you to show me myself. I'm going to open up your word. I'm going to read from the word. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me and to show me what needs to change in my life. Convict me of that which is not pleasing to you. And when you do this, if you do this, if you're serious about doing this, take yourself a notebook, a pen or pencil, get before God and listen for the Holy Spirit to speak to you and then write down what he's telling you. Write it down. I mean, this is not for people who are just playing with God. Amen? We're getting down to some serious business here. If you really want to change, it's not going to happen just because you want to. You need to get before God, find out what God is saying to you, and take it seriously. There are two ways that we need to let God work in our lives. Number one, we need to let the Holy Spirit convict us. Number two, we need to let the Holy Spirit direct us in how we need to change. Understand something. Nothing happens in the spiritual realm by accident. Think about it. When God created the world, do you realize God was working according to a plan? about it. He made the world in how many days? How many days? Kids, anybody? Kids, do you know how many days did God make the world?
Six.
Six. Amen? And then on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. We got some big kids. That's all right. Amen. Amen. Now think about this. He's God, isn't he? If God had wanted to, what could he have done? He could have just gone and everything sprang into existence right then. But what did he do? He spread it out over 6 days and rested on the seventh. He had a plan. I mean, do you think on day one, God just kind of said, well, I'll start working, and then when I get tired, I'll stop? No, no. Anybody know God doesn't get tired? Amen. No, he had a plan. He set that thing in place to give us an example of how he works. When God wanted to save the world, he had a plan. I mean, back before the beginning of time, he knew that we were going to sin. He knew we were going to mess it up. He knew that unless he did something, every human being he created was on his way to hell. So God made a plan. And you know the name of the plan that he made? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He made a plan to save mankind. And the name of his plan was Jesus. We just celebrated Christmas, the coming of Jesus into this world. God's plan. Go a step further. Before the foundation of the world, God knew you, and he made a plan for your life. That's what the scripture says, Ephesians 1. Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan for your life. Catch it. God does everything by plan. And that's the way it works in the spiritual world. There is always a gap between the determination to do something and the reality of getting that thing done. And that gap has to be bridged by a plan. Go over to Proverbs 21:5. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. Now, just so you understand it, when it says the plans of those who are hasty, that means the ones who do everything at the last minute. God is so wise, I have to tell you. In putting people together, God is so wise. God gave me Priscilla. Praise God. But I have to tell you something. She gets on my nerves sometimes. She does. She gets on my nerves sometimes. You see, Priscilla is a very disciplined, organized person. She likes order. She likes the plan. And so guess what she's always bugging me about? What's the plan? What's the plan? Priscilla wants a plan for what we might be doing 2 years from now. And I'm saying, look, we'll deal with it when we get there. Now catch it. She's always asking, what's the plan? That's getting on my nerves. It's annoying me. And then I start to think, God is good. Because you know what? I need the plan. Amen? Amen? She's getting on me about the plan. She is giving me what I need in order to achieve what God wants me to achieve in life. And so praise God she gets on my nerves. Hallelujah. Because you need to work according to a plan. You go before the Holy Spirit. You go before God and you're reading through the word and the Holy Spirit begins speaking to you. And he takes you to 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent or study to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you say, okay, that's what God wants to do in my life in the coming year. He wants me to get deeper into his word, to learn how to study his word, to learn how to divide his word so that I will be a workman who does not need to be ashamed. So I am going to get deep into God's word. I'm going to become a student of the word of God in the coming year. You know what the next question is? What's your plan? Does anybody here realize that if you just say, I'm going to become a student of the word, and that's what's on my heart, that's what I want to do, you will get to about February, and it'll be over with. Now, let me be honest. Most of you won't make it that far. Amen? I mean, you'll sit here in the church, you go home, and by the time you finish eating dinner, it's gone. Amen? Uh-huh. Why? Because you don't have a plan. You don't have a way of translating that intention that's in your heart and in your mind into some actual behavior that's going to bring it about. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, okay, you want to become a student of the word. You want to get deep into God's word. When are you going to study the word? What time of day? Where are you going to study the word? If you live in a house with other people, where are you going to find the space that you can be alone and have some privacy and spend time with God at the time that you set aside to study the word? What will you read? How are you going to study it? I mean, does anybody realize that if you really want to get into the word of God and become a student of the word, the just dip at random method doesn't really work? Oh, I think I'll start here today. And then tomorrow, well, let's see. No, if you're going to become a student of the word, you need to have a plan of study. So if you want to see positive change take place in your life, you need to get before the Spirit of God. Not only ask him to convict you in regard to what needs to change in your life, but the next thing you need to be saying is, Lord, give me a plan. Show me how I can put this thing into practice in my life. Go over to James chapter 1. Look at verse 5. Here's the promise that you have, that God will give you what you need. James 1, 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Do you see it? If you need wisdom on how to put this thing to work in your life, how to implement the change that God wants to make in your life, what does he say? Come and ask me for it. Come and ask me, and I'll give you the wisdom. But catch this. Look at Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Here's the trap that we fall into in the world so much. We know that we need to have a change in our life. We may even realize that we need to have a plan for that change. Any intelligent people here today? Let me just see. The intelligent people, raise your hands. Looks like I need to pray for you. If I ask for the dumb people to raise their hands, will I get some hands on that one? Catch it. We think that we're intelligent enough that we can make our own plans. We recognize that I need to change, and we sit down and we start trying to figure out how I can change. But look at what God says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. You need a plan for the changes that need to happen in your life in this new year. But your plan needs to come from God. Catch what I'm telling you today. If you're serious about changing, you're going to have to get serious about getting in God's face. This is not something you can be superficial about. It's not something that you can just sit here and listen to a sermon about and it's going to change your life. No, you're going to have to go home, set aside time. Lord, I'm going to spend time praying. Not just one day, you probably need a week, 2 weeks, I don't know. But you need to be serious about this thing. Lord, I need you to show me myself. I need to show me what's wrong. I need you to show me what needs to change. And then, Lord, once you show me what you want to change in my life, I need you to show me how to go about it. Give me a plan. Show me how to bring it into practice in my life. The third thing that you need to do is to depend on God's power and not your own. When you start to make changes in your life, there are two realities that you have to face. Look at Romans 7:18. You want to change. You know you need to change. You want to see it happen in the new year. But let me tell you something, your flesh will resist changes. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, But how to perform what is good, I do not find. Anybody identify with that? You have known what it is that needed to change in your life. You knew you were living a self-destructive lifestyle. Whatever it was, Lord, I want to change. And you tried hard to change and fell flat on your face. Why? Your flesh doesn't want to change. Your flesh resists change. How many of you know that change is uncomfortable? Amen? Change is uncomfortable. As long as you want to remain in your comfort zone, you'll never change, and your flesh likes its comfort zone. So the first thing that's going to resist you is your flesh. But take it a step further. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Not only is your flesh against you when you get ready to change, but the moment you truly make up your mind that I'm going to do this for the glory of God, not for myself, I'm asking the Lord to show me how I need to change. I'm getting my plan from Him on what I need to do to change. The moment you really get serious about this thing, look at what's going to happen to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The moment you get serious about changing your life for Jesus, the devil is coming after you. He's going to do everything in his power to discourage you, to distract you, to depress you, to turn you around. You got an enemy that's going to fight against you. Now, you know what all that means? You can't handle it on your own. I saw that they had that movie, A Few Good Men, on TV last night. You know, I've never watched a thing. I just remember the advertisement they showed on TV. And the only thing I remember is Jack Nicklaus sitting up there saying, "You can't handle the truth." Remember that? Well, let me tell you, you can't handle change. You can't. Not in yourself. You can't handle change. You know what you need? You need some power outside of yourself. I got out there Thursday and then again yesterday, getting that snow out of the way. And you know what the wonderful thing about this snowblower is? They give you an electric cord when you buy it. You plug that electric cord in. You turn up the choke. There's a little red button on there. You punch that red button. All you do is punch it once, and it goes. I mean, you don't even have to pull. Just punch the little red button. And then on the right hand, there's the throttle. And so you push down on that thing. Guess what? It takes off by itself. In fact, sometimes, you know, I kind of push down by accident. It could be going, zoop, I got to go catch up, you know. Why? It's got power. Hallelujah. I ran out of gas while I was out there. I ran out of gas several times, but I ran out of gas one time, and I thought, well, I'm just going to go ahead and push it and push some of the snow out of the way. Any of you know that didn't work? No. You know what I found out? I needed the power. Hallelujah. It would have been impossible for me, maybe not for you, but impossible for me to remove that snow if I had not had the power of that snowblower. In the same way, it's impossible for you to make the real changes that need to take place in your life without the power of God working in your life. You need God's power. You can't do it on your own. Where do you get that power? Go over to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1:8. Where do you get the power that you need to make the changes in your life that you want to occur in this new year? Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when who? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Go to Zechariah 4:6. God says, you will receive power, the power that you need to live for Christ, the power that you need to be a witness for Him, the power that you need to see changes take place in your life when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Zechariah 4:6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You want to have power to see changes take place in your life? You need to get in God's face. Number one, Lord, convict me. Show me where I need to change. Number two, Lord, give me a plan for how I need to change. But number three, Lord, I can't do it myself. I can't do it by myself. As hard as I try, I can't succeed. Lord, you got to give me the power. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 13 again. Here's the secret of God's plan for change that will remain in your life. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 13 again. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God who works in you both to will, giving you the motivation to change, and to do, giving you the power to change. And it's all for his good pleasure. You want to see change take place in your life? You need to get down before God on a daily basis. Lord, I am facing situations in my life today, and I want to face those situations in a godly way. I want to be the man. I want to be the woman that you want me to be. Lord, I want to change. But I know I can't do it, so Lord, today I'm asking you to give me the power I need. Today, Lord, I'm asking you to give me the power that I need in order to change. In your car. You ever go to the gas station and put air in your tires? Any of you ever do that? Now, do you do that even when you haven't had a flat tire? Any of you? Why do you do that? Because catch it. The air seeps out of your tire. Over a period of time, the air seeps out of your tire. Amen? Now, guess what? I go to the Lord on Monday. I pray, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Give me power, Lord, to be the man, the woman of God that I need to be. And guess what? The Holy Spirit starts moving in my life. Praise God. He gives me the power to walk in righteousness and holiness, to be the man I'm supposed to be. And so I go through that day and I am doing great, living for Jesus. Praise God. But guess what? The whole time, the air is seeping out. Amen. And so the next day comes along and hallelujah, I'm still moving along for Jesus. Praise God, strong for the Lord. But the air is still going. And after a few days, if you look at me, I'm down to about half pressure. Why? Because I didn't get replenished. I didn't go to the filling station and get some more air in my tire. Hallelujah. If you want to see God at work in your life on a continuing basis in this new year so that you can change and the change will remain, you won't give it up after 2 or 3 days, but it will stay in your life. You need to have the Spirit of God at work in your life on a continuing basis. You need on a daily basis to get before the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, fill me. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your power. Give me everything I need today to live for you, because Lord, today I am committed to living my life for you and not for myself. Go over to Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. So I say to you and ask. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? you need to ask, Lord, fill me with your spirit. And look at verse 9 again. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. The verb tense in the Greek for those verbs is a continuing tense. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. It's something you can't do once and done. It's something that you got to do over and over and over again. If you want to see God changing your life, you need to get before God every day of your life and say, Lord, fill me with your spirit today. Fill me with your spirit today so that I can walk in the power of God, not in my own power, not trying to do it from myself, but Lord, living for Jesus every day of my life. Here's our final scripture for the day. This is the one thing that you need to know. John chapter 15, verse 5. This is what this message really is all about. You want to see change take place in your life. Change that will remain. It can only be on this basis. John 15, 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. You want to change? In this new year, you get down on your knees every day. Get God moving in your life every day. Get the power of God hooked up into your life every day. And that's the way that you will see change that will remain. But if you try to do it yourself, if you try to pray once and done, I want to change. I'm making a New Year's resolution that I'm going to change in this area. Guess what? You'll be back here saying, let me try this again. It didn't work last time, but maybe it'll work this time. No, no, no. Get serious about this. Set you aside some time to get before the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to convict you of what you need to change in your life, to give you the plan for how to change in your life. And then on a daily basis, Lord, fill me with your spirit, that I may have the power to change, because I am living my life not for myself, but for Jesus Christ.